Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we hear the final message in this series, Striving Together for Victory. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, for the past several months, we've been studying the lives of Christians who worked together, men and women of God who have striven or have been striving together for the faith of the gospel. Last week, we learned that the church at Corinth was to labor together for God. And this morning, we're going to learn from the life of a man who many times in his life had to stand alone for God, and he was striving together with God and God alone. Many of you in your lives tomorrow are going to stand alone for God. Perhaps you wish you could take your entire Sunday school class to work with you and just hang out with Christians all day at the water cooler, but many of you will be the only Christian at work tomorrow. Many of you will go into the staff meeting tomorrow as the only representative of Jesus Christ. You are going to stand alone in your society for the Lord and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, David was accustomed to standing alone. As a shepherd boy tending to the flocks in Bethlehem, he often spent days and days and perhaps weeks alone there tending to these flocks in the rolling hills surrounding Bethlehem. I took this picture a few years ago, and it was just interesting to see the little sheepfolds that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. This was the place where David grew. This was the place where he walked alone with God. And the Bible tells us in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, that the king by the name of Saul was a man who rebelled in his heart against God. He took into his hands some areas of worship that belonged only to the priest. And God, the Bible tells us, was displeased with Saul, and God's hand of favor was removed from Saul because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in the eyes of God. And I believe in the New Testament parallel, all of us need to remember that the Holy Spirit of God who lives within every Christian is easily quenched. He is easily grieved. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we're to quench not the Spirit. Let's say that together. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 says, grieve not the Spirit. God is a holy God. And so with Saul, when Saul sinned, God was grieved. And God determined, because of Saul's sin, that he would no longer be the king over Israel. And so you have perhaps read the story, how that God sent his prophet Samuel. He sent him to Bethlehem to find and to anoint the next king over all of Israel. When he sent Samuel to Bethlehem, he said, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. I want you to find there the king that you will anoint. And I want you to see specifically what he told Samuel, because it tells all of us something about being men and women of God. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, I believe it's in your notes, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Speaking about Eliab, the elder brother. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now he said, I want you to know right off the get-go, Samuel, Eliab may be a lot taller and he may look a lot stronger, but I'm looking for something more than a great physical specimen. God said, I see what matters most, and what matters most is the heart of a man. And God saw in David the heart of a man who had walked with God, a man of integrity, a man who truly had a passion for the Lord. And so the Bible says in chapter 13, or in verse 13 of that chapter, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, in this day in which we live, we are born again by the Spirit of God, and so all of us have the Holy Spirit living within us if we are saved. The New Testament term is that we are to be filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. But in the Old Testament vernacular, the Holy Spirit came upon David and anointed David for this great purpose. Now, let me just say by way of introduction, there's two things you don't want to miss in your life. Number one, the purpose of God for your life, and number two, the power of God for your life. David was discovering both in a moment. God's purpose for him was to lead the nation of Israel, and God had given him an anointing for that opportunity. You see, with God's appointing comes God's anointing. And David was going to learn about both on this very special day in his life. There was a dear man in our church years ago. Some of you may have met him, Brother Jack Sexton. Jack was a man that came into our church, and back in 1988, he began to grow and flourish in his Christian life. Many years later, I conducted his funeral service, and just about 2 months before he went to be with the Lord, he wrote me a note. And I clipped that little note and kept it in a file. And in the note, he said, Pastor, sometimes if I think about it, if I had my life to live over, I would live it as God ordered it initially, in full-time service for Christ. As my family knows, I lived as a vagabond, having no roots. God called me to preach when I was young, but I was caught up in the world at that time. In 1988, he brought me to Lancaster Baptist Church, and finally, I began to live the Christian life God wanted me to live, thanks to you, Pastor, and thanks to the great Lancaster Baptist Church family. Thank the Lord that he found his purpose in the latter years of his life, but I believe all of us should say, Lord, from this day forward, I want your purpose for my life, and I want your power in my life that I might live out that purpose. Well, that's exactly how David lived. He was a man striving together with his God for great victories in his life. And I want you to learn with me about David and about what it really means to strive for the Lord in this day. Notice, first of all, David was a man striving with a cause. David was living his life with a holy cause in his heart. You'll find that, if you would, in chapter 17 and verse 29. We'll see the context of this in a moment, but just look at the verse, if you would, verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? His brothers were giving him a hard time for coming to the battle. He looked up at his brothers and said, is there not a cause? He had come to the place in his early life where he realized that there was a cause for the nation of Israel. There was a cause for his life, and he did not want to miss that cause. You know, our cause here at Lancaster Baptist is very clearly stated this year in our theme. And it's in your notes, Philippians 1:27, the latter part of that verse which says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Would you say that with me this morning? Striving together. Our cause is the gospel cause. Everything we do in preaching and teaching and running buses and teaching classes and supporting missionaries and building buildings, it's all about God's cause, and that is getting the gospel out to every creature. Well, David had a cause, and his cause was that God would be glorified in Israel. And I want you to see a few things about his cause this morning. First of all, his cause was greater than his fears. His cause was greater than his fear. Now, I don't know what you face tomorrow. I don't know if it's in the realm of health. I don't know if it's in the realm of beginning college or school. I don't know if it's in the realm of some boss that just is like Goliath every day, breathing out threatenings. I don't know what you face, but I know that when you have a cause in your heart that is great and godly, then that cause will help you to stand against the fears of this life. Now, when David arrived at the Valley of Elah, he saw something he didn't expect to see. In verse number 11 of our text, it says, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Imagine David coming to the Valley of Elah. He sees his brothers. He sees the armies of Israel. He sees Saul, who is head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. And when he sees them, they're biting their nails. They are greatly afraid. The Bible says they are dismayed. And if you're taking notes this morning, the word dismayed means that they were paralyzed with fear. They had come to a place where they could not move into the battle because they were overwhelmed with their fear. And we see immediately that they were in a difficult situation. A few years ago, I had the privilege of visiting the Valley of Elah and even scooping some stones out of the very creek bed from which David would have taken his five smooth stones. And I believe in my heart, as Goliath stood above that valley and as he was yelling out to the armies of Israel, that Saul was gripped with fear and that the armies of Israel were gripped with the paralysis of analysis. They were thinking about it. They were talking about it. They were talking about the weight of the head of the spear of Goliath. They were talking about the height of Goliath. They were afraid of what would happen if they went against the Philistines, just like we have fear often in our lives. I heard about a sports recruiter who was getting ready to retire. He had recruited some of the best players the NFL ever saw. He was taking a young man with him. He'd been a coach for a while and wanted to become a recruiter. They were sitting up in the stands watching some people play down on the field. He said, "You see that guy right there? He got knocked down. He got right back up." He said, "We don't want to recruit him." The young recruit kind of looked at the recruiter, and he said, "You see that guy over there? He got knocked down. He got back up. He got knocked down again. He got back up." He said, "But we don't want to recruit him." He said, "You see this guy over here? He got knocked down, he got up, he got knocked down, he got up, he got knocked down, he got up." He said, "But we don't want to recruit him either." And the young man said, "Well, who do we want to recruit?" And the older recruiter said, "We want to recruit the guy who's knocking them all down." Now, that's who Goliath was. He was the guy who was knocking them all down. That's the fear that came into the hearts of the children of Israel. He had a helmet of brass. The Bible says he was 9'6" tall, a coat of mail. He was a man who had like a fish scale type of a shirt on made out of metal. He had around his legs metal. He had a spear that was 18 pounds at the head. Maybe to give you a little idea of why they were so afraid, you might want to just take a look at the shoe size of this fella. You get David maybe about a 9. Shaquille O'Neal wears a 14 and a half. And Goliath, about a 19, size 19. He has Shaq by 5 sizes. So quite a big foot to support a man of that height. And then maybe this will help you a little bit. Here would be David, maybe 5 feet or so. Shaq, about 7. Goliath, about 9'6". How would you like to see somebody walk up to Shaquille O'Neal and say, "Hey, little fella, how you doing today?" Now you're starting to get a picture of Goliath. Emerson said, "Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you you are wrong. There are always difficulties arising which tempt you to believe that your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage which a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave people to win them. For this young man to stand against Goliath was going to take a courage that would come only from the Lord. And so his courage was a courage that came from the Lord, and we see his cause was greater than his fears. But notice, secondly, his cause was greater than his foes. His cause was greater than his foes. Now, please understand, if you're going to live for the Lord tomorrow at Northrop Grumman or out at the sheriff's station or down below, wherever you work, if you're going to live for the cause of God and Christ, then you recognize there will come some adversity. There may be some foes who don't appreciate that you're a Bible-believing Christian. Now, to get the idea of the foes that David faced, you need to realize his dad sent him from Bethlehem down to the Valley of Elah. 1 Samuel 11, verse 17, Jesse said to David, "Take for thy brethren an ephah of corn and 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren." And so David did that. And he arrives at the camp at Elah, and upon arrival, he thought everyone would be nice to him and that they would welcome him, but that wasn't the case. In fact, the first foe that he really faced in his quest for victory was going to be his own brother, Eliab, the brother that wasn't chosen to be the king, the brother that Samuel did not anoint, is going to be frustrated with David because David began to ask the soldiers, "What's going on? Why aren't we fighting? Why aren't we involved in the battle?" And the Bible tells us in chapter 17 and verse 28, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" Now, I hate to tell you this if you're a newer Christian, but sometimes some of the foes, some of the discouragement you're going to face in the Christian life is going to come from other Christians. And in this particular moment in David's life, it's coming from his own brothers and his own brother who should have said, "David, good to see you. Thanks for the food. Boy, it's great to see you. How's dad doing, David?" Instead of welcoming David, he is filled with anger. He is filled with a critical spirit. And the fact is that Eliab's criticism was covering up his own cowardliness, because for 40 days he had stood there shaking in his boots, and his younger brother with God had more courage than he had had all of those 40 days. And by the way, when someone criticizes you, it's amazing how much they know. They become almost omniscient. Because here Eliab says, "I know thy heart." There's only one that knows the heart, isn't there? And that's God. But Eliab was so insecure, and he began to fight against his own brother. Someone said a critic is someone who criticizes the way you do something they have never done. A critic is someone who knows how to tell you to do the thing that you're accomplishing that they've never tried to accomplish. Someone said to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. But if you're going to get in the battle and you're going to get a couple of stones and a sling and you're going to dare to step out against a Goliath, there will be someone feeling a little insecure about that, but you just go ahead and do what God has called you to do. Proverbs 27 and verse 4 says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Well, his family stood against him. And then, of course, his enemy Goliath. Look, if you would, here in chapter 17 and verse 23. "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up of the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that is come up?' They were fearful as they saw Goliath." Now, around 1200 BC, the Philistines had begun to take the corner on the market of the iron of Palestine. And so as we think about it contextually, Israel not only was facing a formidable enemy in the size of Goliath and his brothers, but also they were able to make tremendous spears, tremendous swords and shields because of their ability to craft this iron. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 19, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, 'Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears.'" So there were trade secrets regarding how to make swords and spears that the Philistines knew, but the children of Israel did not know. And so they were literally psyched out about the size of the enemy, the armament of the enemy, and Israel stood there paralyzed with fear for 40 days. Now I wonder today, is there something so paralyzing you that you are not as effective as God wants you to be? Is there something you're facing right now that is limiting your ability to step out and win great victories for the Lord? Many churches today are paralyzed and they're not entering into the battle as they should. Many pastors are afraid of seeming judgmental, so they don't preach the whole counsel of God. They don't preach against the sins of the day. Many times they're afraid of seeming weird, so they don't carry tracts or witness. And many Christians are afraid of the stigma of being a Christian, and so they don't step out and get involved in something like soul winning. And they're afraid of being called radical, so they don't tithe or attend maybe a midweek service or something of this nature. Many times we get gripped with fear as Christians and never reach our potential for God. But my Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the devil, just like Goliath, is standing up often on the side of the mountain saying, "You can't win the victory. I've got a better sword than you. I'm bigger than you are. And if you try to witness, you're going to be embarrassed, and I'll have your job, and I'll turn you over, and you're never going to be able to build a great work for God, and you're never going to have a great family for God." And just like Goliath, the devil breathes out threatenings against Christians every single day, and Christians fill with fear, and then they stand there like the brothers of David doing nothing when there's a great battle to be won for the Lord. I want to challenge some of you this morning. Get out into the battlefield with David tomorrow and stand for what is right. Strive with a cause. The cause of Jesus Christ. Notice secondly, this man David was striving with a cause, but he was also striving with confidence. He wasn't striving alone. He was striving with the Lord. Now he was confident for two basic reasons. Let's notice these. First, he was confident because of past victory. He had won some victories in the past that God had showed him what he can do. All of you who are facing great challenges tomorrow have probably had great victories yesterday. But the devil has a way of causing us to forget those victories, doesn't he? Notice what it says in 1 Samuel 11:34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go and be with, and the Lord be with thee." You know, the book of Romans says it this way in Romans 5 and verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." You see, my friend, the fact of the matter is that the trials of the past have worked patience and understanding into our heart. And tribulations worketh patience, but patience worketh hope. And we're able to step out onto the valley, and we're able to step out into the battle with hope in our hearts, because we can say, "My God was able to deliver me from the lion and from the bear and from whatever you faced in your life and the trials of yesterday. And the God that brought me through yesterday will bring me through tomorrow." And that was the spirit that David had when he stood out on the battlefield.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.